Have you ever felt lonely, church, at some point in your life? Have you ever felt so deeply lonely to the point that you are really depressed? There's a lot of lonely people out there. According to the 2023 report from the Pew Research Center, they found that 8% of adults say that they have no close friends. The same year, a report from the U.S. Surgeon General says that loneliness is an epidemic here in America. There are increasing number of people who felt isolated, abandoned, even in the midst of so many crowd, we can feel the loneliness. Even if we are so many friends or have so many friends on social media, we can still feel loneliness. In fact, when we release a survey through the Connect Church process last year, the emerging trends of the survey right here in this community, we don't need to go far away, right within the 5-mile radius of this community, loneliness always on the top of the mark as one of the most challenging situations. This epidemic of loneliness and isolation increases the risk, and I quote, the risk of premature death, as much as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Insufficient social connection is associated with 29% increased risk of heart disease and 32% increased risk of stroke, the report said. Loneliness, and I quote, is also linked with anxieties, depression, dementia, and may increase susceptibility with viruses and respiratory illness, end of quote. We live in a world where people are more technologically connected than ever before, and yet many are still lonely. And feeling alone can be a profoundly difficult thing to experience. This is exactly what the disciples are in right now in this text on the Gospel of John chapter 14. They've been with Jesus all throughout their journey together in ministry of miracles and teachings, in walking alongside with Jesus as their master, as their teacher, as their guide, as their constant companion. All that they have done has been about being part of Jesus' life and journey. And now, in this what we call as the farewell discourse, Jesus is sending the message to them, and this is a paraphrase word, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to stay here for longer, much longer. I'm about to leave you all, and I will depart to be with my Father. So let's pause there for a while and digest the text. Someone is saying to you, and you've been living with that person all throughout your exciting moments in life, in the ups and downs of life, and then all of a sudden he or she would say to you, I'm going to leave you. I'm sure many of us here will feel depressed, right? We feel like we've been abandoned. Think for moments when you say goodbye to your loved ones. That's how the disciples must have been felt there. They felt so lonely and abandoned and isolated because their master is about to leave them. But church, that was not the end of that story yet, because we are about to see what verse 27 has to say. That Jesus here is promising to them, I'm not going to be leaving you alone. Hear these words again from verse 28. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. Have you heard the word paradox before? That's one of the languages that I heard when I first came to America more than 27 years ago. Bible is full of paradox. Jesus' life was full of paradox. He's living and yet he's not living. He will be gone and yet he will be present. That's paradox, right? But exactly that's what he's saying to his disciples. I'm leaving, but I'm going to be present. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And perhaps maybe the disciples at that time, they were scratching their heads. What exactly Jesus is trying to say here? You're living and yet you're not leaving? Which leads us to the next point that I want to say. Jesus here promises the disciples that they will not be alone. And it's very important to know that Jesus here will depart, and yet he will send to them the advocate. It says here in verse 25, I've sent these things to you while I'm still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will be there with you. Well, it's important for us to hear the language of advocate here, because this is a Greek word that comes from the word parakletos, which means called along beside. I would rather say it this way in a very plain language. It's your constant companion. It's someone who come alongside with you. Think about your friends or your spouse or your children coming alongside with you. What Jesus is trying to say here to his disciples, I'm leaving you, but technically I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to leave you with your constant companion. This means that Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to be the presence of God with them, that they will not be by themselves. The advocate is a presence the disciples will need in order for us, for them to carry their marching order. And that is to share the gospel of Christ, to witness God's love and compassion to the world that is in need of him. Well, let's pause that again and digest that promise. Here, these disciples feeling so lonely and abandoned, feeling that they are being left by themselves on their own. And I'm sure there are times in your life that you felt that way. In moments that you feel at the lowest point in your life, whether you lost a loved one, or your spouse or your family members are in the hospital, or your prayers are not being answered, you felt that lonely. And then God will begin to say to you, I am there with you. Even though I'm leaving, I'm going to be there with you. I'll never leave you. Isn't that a great promise? That we can hold on? Isn't that a joy in our hearts, knowing that we are not by ourselves? Isn't that a joy in our hearts that God is giving us this advocate, this Holy Spirit, so that we can be able to carry on the work that he entrusted to us? That we should not lean on our own strength. That whatever challenges you and I face, there's nothing that cannot be able to overcome, because the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will be there with us. And not only that, he will be there with us to be our constant teacher. He used this language of teacher in verse 26. How many of you remember your teachers in your elementary days? Even now, I'm sure many of you here still remember your teachers, right? Oh, I remember Miss Susie. She was just so amazing with her powerful testimonies. And she taught me things that I've never heard before. Mr. Peter. I mean, he was my third grade teacher. And I could not forget. He taught me and impatiently walked alongside with me. Do you remember those moments, church? The teacher image here is very powerfully embedded on the gospel to call our attention and to remind us that's exactly what the advocate or the Holy Spirit are doing in our lives. He is teaching us, guiding us. When things get rough, when we don't know where to go, whether light, left or right, or if we're making some decisions that are harming us, the Holy Spirit is the one that will call our attention, that will convict our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit that will help us discern what is right and what is wrong, how to make a decision not based on our impulse, but based on God's purpose and meaning in our lives. The question that we need to ask, do we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? Do we even acknowledge that the Holy Spirit can do something whenever we face the trials of life? So often we have no idea, or we do not even understand what God is up to in our lives today. Many Christians, or in fact, for that matter, many churches have too often softened or domesticated our understanding of the Spirit, wherein we see the Spirit as a kind of a tame and gentle. And as a result, many Christians have a hard time being Spirit-filled, who lost their sense of passion and boldness and excitement about their faith in God and their relationship with Christ. They lost their passion and excitement to witness, because we tend to domesticate the Holy Spirit. Well, the Gospel of John telling us today that the Holy Spirit is more than that. That we're not going to be alone, because the Holy Spirit is there with us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to love in a way that Christ loved one another. It is that same Holy Spirit that convicts us whenever we fail to love as we would have others loved us. It is the Holy Spirit that fills us with this supernatural generous love that overflows in all areas of our lives, whether personal or social, ministries, relationships. It is the Holy Spirit that pours out His love into our hearts during those most difficult moments, so that we can be motivated to carry on and to keep on moving forward. This is the Holy Spirit that urges us on whenever we are feeling lonely or anxious or hopeless and about to give up. So church, this is what God is telling us today. The Holy Spirit is there with us. All we have to do is to acknowledge it and to reclaim the presence of the Holy Spirit in and of our lives, so that we will feel never abandoned, even in the midst of loss and pain and sorrow in this thing called life. And because Jesus will be present with them through the Holy Spirit, His disciples need not be anxious. The Bible says, do not be anxious. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Jesus here is reassuring His disciples who are feeling the fear about His departure that they will never be alone. And yet Jesus offers yet another promise in this gospel. Not only that He will give them the Advocate or the Holy Spirit. Listen to the next promise that Jesus is giving to them and to us. He says in verse 27, what does He says there? Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. When you hear the word peace, this is not just an absence of war. This is not just cessation of hostilities. It's more than that. In the Bible, the term peace comes from a Hebrew word that means shalom, which means wholeness, perfection, prosperity, God's wellness of God's creation. In fact, in the New Testament translation of shalom, it means irene, which is more than internal peace. In other words, what Jesus is trying to say to His disciples, I'm not just leaving you an advocate. I'm not just giving you the Holy Spirit that will guide you and teach you and come alongside with you. But I'm also going to give you the peace. Peace not by the world standard, but peace in the kingdom realm. Peace that is not defined based on good circumstances of life. Sometimes we depend on peace from health insurance, from 501, from retirement plans and other things. But this is a different kind of peace when Jesus says here on this verse 27, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Which means that this peace is not based on good circumstances of life. It is here what Jesus is saying, I have said this to you in me that you may have peace. Wow. Peace will make no sense to the world because this peace is not something of this world but rather of God. And we do not acquire this peace from the world but rather it is given to us. We are recipients of this gift. It comes from that very one who gave his life for us. The very Son of God. All he has to do is to claim this by saying, Lord, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to give up my life for you. So the question for us today, do you have the peace in your life today? Are you looking for peace somewhere else? Are you holding on God's promise that he will give you peace no matter what? Let me close this God's word today in a beautiful words that have been penned by Francis of Assisi. He says like this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit and peace. Let's pursue them. Let's embrace them. Let's live with them. And let's witness to them. Amen.